On RSN 927's Racing Pulse, welcome to The Verdict.
Kieran McAvoy has just outridden every other jockey. He's just phenomenal on the big day when it counts.
With his track record, I mean, you do not work in Europe for Godolphin for the best part of 8 years as Frankie's number two without being very, very good.
If the trainer anecdotally says to us on Monday and Tuesday, this is what I'm dealing with this horse, he's sore and so, that's enough. I don't think the burden of proof has to go on the trainer. They wouldn't be saying it unless it was real.
Tracks and horse welfare. Which is, as I said 7 days ago, it has to be king in the sport.
How can the smaller states prosper if the bigger states won't allow them to?
I think what he is saying is that the governments need to ensure that the local states prosper regardless of what happens.
How are they magically going to do that?
By allocating more funding.
The Pertsy Polo could be a BRC attachment.
Yeah, how long can horses hold their breath for that?
Welcome to The Verdict after another huge weekend of racing. Great to have the great man, Peter Moody, in The Verdict. How are you, Moots?
Great to be here. Terrific weekend's racing and a fair bit to discuss.
Yeah, lots to discuss. Matty Stewart, front and centre. No Manuel for you on the weekend, Matty, but a good weekend of racing regardless.
No, it was a bit of a dent in the Manuel kitty, but we roll on. But it was more of a watch weekend for me. I did have a few dips, don't worry about that. But it was, you know, whenever Winx goes around, it's always just a sit back and watch. And I didn't really have a decent crack at the Lightning either. I thought it was a very even, difficult race to assess, but I think from a Newmarket point of view, we got a fairly clear idea of which ones with the handicaps and all that sort of stuff. So I'd knock myself into next week with my headphones. So I think the Newmarket picture became clearer, so that's when we might have a bit of a crack.
Want to discuss that. We want to discuss the All-Star Mile. Voting closes today at midday. We wonder who will be the wildcards. We'll get Mood's thoughts on that. All the good racing in Sydney as well. But we have to start with the champion, Winx.
Winx is starting to chime into it. Bowman still sits pretty at the furlong. Happy Clapper. Clipperton goes for home. But here she comes now, Winx. She just sidles up on the outside, takes the lead and draws away again. Age shall not weary the champ. Once again, she's haughty and imperious. Winx makes it a...
Well, words don't describe what she can do.
Haughty and imperious just did.
Haughty and imperious. It was a good call from Darren Flindell. Moods, we were lucky enough to have a chat to Chris Waller on Saturday morning as he was heading out to the track following your discussion with us on the outside broadcast about what goes through your mind on race day, the nerves, talking of the impending retirement. After what you witnessed on Saturday, should she be further away from retirement than what she actually is?
Oh, well, listen, I've stated I'd love to see her in a fifth Cox plate, but the team that work with her, they know her better than all of us. And, you know, I think not only is the wear and tear catches up to Winx, it catches up to Waller, Bowman and Connections as well. You know, I think that's probably underplayed. You know, I reckon they could enjoy life beyond Winx. They're very happy that they were part of the Winx story. But the time that goes into managing her on not only on the track but off the track is phenomenal. Like Chris Waller and his family won't know what hits them when she retires, and the time that he's all of a sudden freed up. Hugh Bowman the same, and the Connections, well, they'll go back to having a normal life.
I wrote a story on Waller before the third Cox plate, not the fourth, and not maybe what we're seeing now, and he described it as like being in a cage that you can't get out of, and my life has been turned upside down and not necessarily in a good way. He thinks about her all the time and he longs for the day where he doesn't have this responsibility. Not that he's craving no Winx, but I think they're all, as Mood says, I think they're all looking forward to post Winx. I think there's a threshold for how much he can be in the pressure cooker.
Yeah, for sure. No doubt.
Well, interesting, because Chris Waller brought up in that chat we had on Saturday morning about possible counselling for staff and those involved with his stable. Racing Twitter does what it does best and pilloried it and took the absolute P1SS out of that on Saturday when we tweeted it out. This is what Peter Tighe had to say on the Breakfast Club this morning about that.
Oh, it's probably just really Chris Waller, and you know, he's a forward thinker. That's what all you can say. And you know, he knows it's going to be tough for, you know, the handlers that have basically lived with her for 4 years. I mean, they get a break when she has a bit of a break, but they live and breathe her, and you know, she's part of their life. So I mean, I think he's just preempting, you know, what could be, and just making sure that you know, the right steps are taken. That he's looking after his he's like, he looks after his horses. He wants to make sure he looks after his staff, because they're paramount in the operation of Chris Waller Racing.
Now, Moods, you're the only person who has come anywhere near the Winx phenomenon, and you lived it through the Black Caviar days. Is that a fair enough call for Chris Waller and the owners to talk about possible counselling when she's retired?
Oh, listen, that's the age we live in, isn't it? It's not my age. Like, I counselled myself. I had a six-pack and a pack of durries and sat in the office and watched Black Caviar's replays. The majority of the staff would probably rather the owners and Chris take them down to the icebergs and throw 20,000 on the bar and get on it.
That'd be good therapy, wouldn't it?
But, listen, that's not occupational health and safety and mental well-being. That's the age we live in. Some of us sit back and think, oh, give them a teaspoon of cement and harden the you-know-what up. But, listen, that's the age and that's the world we've created, so I'm not going to ridicule it for 1 minute.
I think it's the degree of counselling and therapy too. If it's someone, you know, if you're feeling a bit down, come and have a chat in the office or something. But I think the Twitter response was, you know, along the lines of real world problems, you know. So I respect where Chris is coming from, and he wears his heart on his sleeve, and I think he thinks a lot about, you know, human emotion and all that sort of stuff. But I think the retirement of a horse to a lovely life of being a mum is not the most harrowing thing a staff member's ever going to go through.
I did have a giggle at
a couple
of the replies.
Try working for Moody. That'd be harrowing.
Some said, imagine if they had a slow horse at counselling.
Yeah, and paid $1 million for it at the Ullensales.
I tell you what, in my mind, watching Winx on Saturday, we may have blown any chance of the Autumn Sun meeting her in this campaign, because he'd never get near her, surely.
No, it's not a horse in the land. You know, 7 furlongs to 10 furlongs in the land, or you know, and arguably the world. She's just too good. And we saw her at her most vulnerable on Saturday, 7 furlongs dry track. And she just cantered around. You know, the pundit's going to come out and say, what did she beat? She beat nothing. But listen, it was an open handicap. Everyone was invited.
Ran a race record.
Yeah. The thing she beat has won $6 million, including
exactly.
Carrying top weights to win Doncaster.
Yeah.
So,
yeah.
You know, if you were to do a chart, like one of those charts of Winx's career from start to now, about her performances and ratings and how well she's going, I reckon that the arrow would be close to the top right now. Don't you think,
Pete? Oh, last season, it's been tremendous. It's been phenomenal.
And the year before, she had a couple of glitches.
There's a little speed hump when she missed the kick, and then the horse of Gerald Ryan's Josh Parr rode took off like a cut cat, and you know, she had to really work to wind it in. But since then, did those couple of races shake her out of a bit of a comfort zone and shake Bowman out of a bit of a comfort zone?
Yeah,
maybe that was the little rattle they needed to have.
Had the Mickey Mouse ears on her for a while too, remember that?
Yeah, but listen, absolute superstar. We'd love her to go on for years and years and years. I'd love to see her back here for a fifth Cox Plate, because barring incident, she'd just win it. But respect the fact that this is probably it. Curtains, Autumn, Queen Elizabeth, well done.
Yeah, I'm curious to know what you thought when you saw her walk in the mounting yard under saddle. And she blew me away when she walked into the track. You didn't notice it as much, but when they're under saddle and there are other horses around them, her muscle tone and her power and strength, it's as powerful as I've seen her in the flesh. I know she's probably a bit underdone, but what was your impression when you saw her when she walked in the yard? Did you have a good look?
On Saturday?
Yeah.
I was at Flemington.
No, I mean on the TV.
No.
I was at Flemington too, Pete.
Yeah, no, you could see all that on the television.
Oh, okay. Well, did you?
No, I didn't. I didn't get to see her in the pre, so I'm not going to even make up a good lie there for you. But
she looked amazing.
She wouldn't have been there if she didn't look well.
Yeah.
She wasn't right. That was the conditions that Waller set, that she had to come back as good, if not better than ever. And she certainly has appeared to have done that, and running a race record at 1400.
Give us all your thoughts out there. You can SMS us on 0416 90 50 52. SMS coming through. Counselling for Winx. I think it's the bookmakers that need the counselling. Another big day for the punter, who had something like 250,000, just rolls it up every time she races.
Mm.
He's on good terms with himself. Outside of Winx, great to see Happy Clapper's return from the bleed, and he's run just as well. How difficult is it to get a horse back first run from a bleed, Mertz?
They can come off pretty well, can't they?
Yeah, they can. They can. Mm. It depends, you know. Obviously, it was a bit of an abnormality. The bleed, I think, that was last preparation down here in Melbourne, wasn't it?
That's right.
So, and it was the first time he's really targeted towards Melbourne out of his own environment. Did he pick up a little bug or something that caused that? There's varying degrees of bleeding, and obviously he's bounced back well and got the job done nicely. Probably more of a concern with a horse that genuinely hemorrhages internally is maybe deeper into a preparation. Fresh, they can pull it out, but then deeper into the prep. But then every now and again, like Dissident, one day he bled at Caulfield on me, and he never ever shown us any indication. You usually get a guide at home in the gallops and that. He never gave us an indication before or after. It was just one day that he... bled at the races, and it was a total abnormality.
Can I just... This idea of whether she can go on or not, and I'm firmly in the pull out while you're on top corner, but you had Black Caviar pretty much tell you, I remember you told us nicely on Saturday morning about it, she basically looked at it and said, Moods, that's it, mate. But I don't think Winks is ever going to look at Waller and say, I'm stuffed, because her physical condition seems to be so much more sound than Nelly was towards the end. Is it going to still be a tricky call if she's at her blistering best all the way through this preparation to actually make that call and pull up stumps?
Just reading between the lines and listening to Peter Tighe this morning, it seems like a bit of a given that it's just Queen Elizabeth is grand final day. I think maybe in that discussion before the start of this prep, they've said, right, if we can get her there this time, you know, they x-ray her, they vet her, they do everything post every race. Is there indications that the wear and tear is starting to catch up on her? I don't know. I know she had that little surgical procedure about 3 years ago. I think that's the only thing that publicly been out there. But great horses like her, she's got to have a lot of wear and she's got to suffer injuries. Now, obviously not great significance, because like any great athlete, equine or human, because they strive to achieve so much, they strain every muscle. She'd be pulling muscles left, right and centre and creating injuries for herself, but Chris Waller obviously hasn't put it out there because he'd get driven absolutely mad. She couldn't do what she does without knocking her body around. It looks effortless. Mm. You don't go and run a course record time without putting in effort.
Yeah, that's right. So just on the ripple effect of these great horses, and there's a beautiful story, and I know you didn't see it, but I'll tell you what it was. Hamish was talking to a woman who had a grave illness, and she came out and Winks was like her elixir, you know, like she Winks was the thing that made her feel. There was a couple from San Diego that had flown in and all that sort of stuff. And remember the woman who followed Black Caviar around and followed her to the beach in Brisbane and had driven her all around? And
yeah, we had women. A lady flew in from America. She used to fly in Saturday morning, watch a race and fly home Saturday night. It's phenomenal what great athletes. Like, I presume it happens in other sports too. Like, people probably go the length of the world to watch Rafa or Federer or Tiger Woods or whoever at the time, LeBron James. You know, it probably happens in every sport, but because this is our sport, we notice it. And it's amazing that the lengths people will go to view.
And did you have, sick people and stuff that was probably put behind closed doors that wasn't made public of what Black Caviar and people that she met?
Yeah, for sure. We had a lot of people visit the stables at varying times and varying degrees of illnesses, and had a great time with some people in Brisbane and here in Melbourne too. You know, we had people with terminal illnesses and that just asked if they could come out and meet her. And you'd never ever wanted to say no, but it had to fit in with what we're doing. And you know, people come out and give her a pat and say good day and have a look, you know, just to put a smile on their face. You know, someone battling cancer, for example, or something, you know, they're living 23 hours a day in a hospital, and if you could give them an hour in your stable, not only to pat Black Caviar, but just have a look around and put a smile on their face, like, it's an unbelievable feel that you can do that.
They take pets into retirement homes to give them give those people a focus. I remember when I was down with Mick Burles with the cleaner, he told me stories of all these kids with cancer, and all these people who would come and just want to be in the presence of Tassie's champion. I remember being down at Safety Beach. You might have even been there, Felgate, with Maccabi Diva, and Lee Friedman was sitting on the beach box, and Maccabi Diva had come out, and a random woman was walking down with a dog, and Freddie was wiping down Maccabi Diva with a towel, and he gave it to the woman. It was like getting the shroud of Turin. You know, she was like, I'll put it behind glass above the beer table, you know, a sweaty towel with horse hairs on it. So.
And now the stories that we need to get out. Yeah. The positive stories of racing as well that need to be spoken about. Let's talk about Flemington, because it was a great day. What do you make of the Lightning Mood, strength-wise? How strong an addition do you think it was?
Well, once again, I would have loved to have seen Nature Strip there. Yeah. I think as everyone would.
And Redzel?
Redzel, yeah. It was an open weight for age handicap. But once again, they were all invited. The older horses held sway over the three-year-olds, Osborne Bulls, and in her time in Osborne Bulls, obviously. I was in the three-year-olds' corner, and the older horses were just too strong. Where does that... The sprinting three-year-olds, they need to step up. In her time,
Graf was okay.
Good, honest, tough sprinting mare. Has been for three or four seasons. Osborne Bull's a bit of the new kid on the block, even though he's a five-year-old. He's sort of...
Will I declare him the best sprinter in Australia post-race? Do you agree?
Well, it's probably a mantle there to be taken, but it's a bit hard to argue Red Zell's won the last two Everests. But that's where our sprinters are at the moment. Red Zell's not unbeatable. On his day, soft track, conditions, you know, but we haven't got that dominant Scalacci, Black Caviar, Placid Arc, or, you know, that type of horse sprinter at the moment. So one of the three-year-olds needs to come through and put a hand up. Sunlight, she was the potential one.
Not disgraced.
Not disgraced. She was as fat as me and her trainer. I mentioned that to him, but she's growing and developed, so more condition. I was in Rittenby's corner because he had the run under his belt. I was gutted that they didn't let him run. I thought his chance was to run them into the ground.
You mentioned that pre-race on Saturday morning, and then Jordan Charles came out afterwards and said, yeah, we made a blue, we should have let him run.
Yeah, listen, only time will tell if next time they do let him run. But then where does he go now, that horse? Does he back up into the Oakley Plate and let him run and you're eyeballing Nature Strip?
Or I reckon he should go to Woodside Park. That's where he should go right now. I think he's become just one of the pack now, hasn't he, written by?
Out of two races.
But he's not... Him quick. Yeah. No, I just think he's not a big force anymore, is he? Yeah.
What is the big force?
Well, that's the thing I was going to ask
you. Are
you
going to not nominate a horse for the new market if you've got a good sprinter because Osborne Bull's in her time are there?
No, I'm not saying that. I'm just saying where he seems to be right now is that he's a bit of a fringe factor in those races. But, you know, when you go back through all those old Lightnings and all the best horses were in it, and whether we've got more options now or people are just taking up different options, but there was a time when it would be just assumed that Nature Strip and Red Zell would have been in that race. I just thought it was a little bit of a shame that because this is the signature weight for age sprint of Australia, you know, at the number one circuit up the straight. So
those big carrots in Sydney, the sprinting, have they taken off? Like, you got the TJ worth $2.5 million and the Everest worth $13 million. Do you upset a solid campaign leading into the TJ Smith?
Are there almost too many options
for
now,
a Red
Zell?
And the good money, maybe the connections decided, well, their best form's there. Red Zell's probably never really fired down the straight, has he?
Oh, yeah. He's won a couple of massive races there.
Has he?
Yeah. A couple of seasons back.
Which one? Yeah, good.
Well, he has. Hey, can I ask you one thing about track pattern, Pete? Yeah. The rails was very good all day. It was very hard to pull out and make ground, and it was including up the straight early on. But when they got to the new market, so the rails, and this is a mate of mine who said it when we were watching, he said, well, how come the rails has been red hot all day, and then when you get to the Oakley, the Lightning, they hang 7 metres off the rails and come down the middle?
Yeah, well, you could make ground, but you had to seem to make it pretty close to the fence and come through. I think race one, they were 2, 3, and 4 back the fence, and that seemed to be the pattern of the day outside the straight races. But then in the straight races, even though they were, say, 10 metres off, I think all the winners dived back to the inside. In her time, Intuition and the other one just... Oh, the two-year-old. They all dived back close to
the two-year-old hugged the fence, though, but even in her time was still 7 off the fence. She was just closest to the inside.
Yeah, that's right. They went back. So maybe the track walker suggested that coming to the outside, which maybe adds to Osborne Bull's performance too, I don't know.
Is he the one you want to be on from a Newmarket point of view?
I was very taken with Graf in the yard I hadn't seen the horse before, and pre the Lightning, I was very taken with him, and I thought his run was good. He's a little bit fresh early. He might be the three-year-old that I'd want to take. Just he and Sunlight looked the two with natural physical improvement. They were both a bit burly, but I was probably more taken with his run than hers at the end of the day.
What do you think will be the stronger race, the Oakley Plate or a Lightning?
Oh, well, two different races. You know, one's handicapped, one's weight for age, around the corners.
They might all meet in the new market.
So is the new market 2 weeks after the Oakley Plate? So I'm thinking is if Nature Strip wins the Oakley Plate well, he then would go to the new market, wouldn't he?
Yeah, or you've got the William Reid option too, don't forget.
See, too many options. Too many options.
Well, it'll be fascinating to see how it all transpires. Remember back in the old day, it was all about winning the Triple Crown. Do we need to reinvent that?
There's not much incentive there.
I was going to say, if you can win the Triple Crown, have your big carrot.
Is there an incentive there to do it? Yeah, and like I say, there's $750,000, the Black Caviar Lightning, not to be sneezed at, but you got the
$2.5 million.
$2.5 million TJ Smith. And once again, get back to this All-Star Mile. Newmarket, our greatest handicap sprint in the country, arguably, and the Australia Cup. you know, they've sort of become not insignificant, but imagine throwing 2.5 on each of them instead of 5-1. I've always said I'd rather go into maidens, but they've sort of become a little bit lost in the...
I agree. I think the consequence of all the channeling of marketing and that to the All-Star Mile is that the... I've never known less talk about the... Is it still Super Saturday? No, it's spread up, but the Flemington Autumn signature races have sort of almost been totally overrun by all this talk about the All-Star Mile.
By a gimmick race, two of the great races of the Australian racing calendar for 150 years, the Newmarket and the Australia Cup, hardly getting a mention.
Well, I think that's what they wanted, the talk, and to have a race that has a lot of commentary, whether it's positive or negative, all the way through, which is, you can't argue with that. The All-Star Mile has plenty of people talking about it, saying that it needs to have a few changes in coming years and so forth, but it has had a lot of conversation. You can't argue with that.
Yeah, no, it has. It has created interest, but, you know, a terrific Newmarket or a terrific Australia Cup, I think, would create interest if it was pumped up and promoted equally.
I've actually got a piece on the website at the moment about some ideas about the All-Star, about what might...
Well, we're going to have a chat to Lee Jordan after the break, and I want your 4 wild cards, Moods. If you were going to hand out tickets to 4 guaranteed runners who may or may not be in the top 10 voting, which closes today because we don't know because it's dark, I want to get your 4 there. Just quickly before we take a break, though, outside of the Lightning at Flemington, so many other good races, especially the CS Hayes and also the Manifold. Moving forward, Moods, who do you want to follow out of the CS Hayes?
That's the Colts race. Mm. Yeah, Chapada was probably the one that hit the line best from back. Extra Brute didn't get to get into big galloping room to see if he was going to swoosh home. Listen, the winner's a little nondescript, plain-looking bugger, the done deal, but it flushed, pulled the girl out of the saddle, pulled itself to a 3-wide position from the 700, and it's run home in 33, hasn't it? Plain, nondescript thing. All you can do is win. There was no red lights, I'm flying home, and you're going to be on me in a mile. I didn't see a horse there that's going to upset the... Like anything, you're going to sell the farm to win the Australian Guineas.
Mm.
Like Chapada and Extra Brute.
Stars of Caram was
Mickey
good.
Blue Eyes Bled, I think. Who? Stars of Caram, yeah. But they didn't
get any room.
Didn't flash and say, hey, I'm going to be winning the Australian Guineas.
Chapada was 33s into $7.50. It was a massive go. And I think the thing that took a length and a half of its performance was the pattern of the day.
The tempo wasn't there early.
Yeah. I'll tell you one thing, too. Like, Vacillator had the blinkers on. I thought that might spark something. He was horrible. I mean, it just keeps chipping away at that Caulfield Guineas form, doesn't it? Really?
And in the fillies race, the Vanity, Amphitrite, very elegant. Physically, they haven't progressed one iota from the spring.
Really?
Myself and Jane Ivel had a look at them in the yard, and they just looked to the two same fillies, and they obviously didn't have to improve. So I can't see, is there something there behind them that's going to beat them? Maybe the fillies, they might be better than the Colts go, the Guineas, but then we talk about the All-Star Mile. Is the Guineas going to be their target, or is the All-Star Mile going to be their target?
I think Mystic Journey, very much so, the Guineas. Can I just ask you one thing about Siggy Carr's, the girl you referred to, who was on the Tassie horse, Jamie Carr, Raquel Clark's flying in Adelaide, you were very much with Linda Meach. So it's an amazing story in the last 10 or 15 years of just how big a factor day-to-day that the female jockeys have become, and I still go back to the story of Michelle Payne's sisters. They had to bring a caravan in because they didn't have a female jockey's room. I think the greatest revolution or evolution in racing ever has been the status of female jockeys now compared to just 10 or 15 years ago.
Well, there's a lot more of them. Mm. That's plain and simple. So they're going to have more success. But listen, they're doing a hell of a good job. They probably ride the weight more comfortably than a lot of the boys. And let's be honest, some of them are terrific horsewomen and are learning to become terrific jockeys. And we see more and more step out each day. Kayla Crowther, the girl with Philip Stokes, she was a double at Sandown the other day. The little girl ran second Chelsea Hall on one there on Saturday. There's a lot of them out there, and they're getting the job done well. I would say Siggy Carr, if one of the stronger male jockeys was on that horse, probably fights him to hold him in one off on the turn, gets the horse out of his comfort zone, where she whether it was purposely or unpurposely, she couldn't hold. The horse was going too strong. Just let it flow into the race, kept its action, rolled into it. I cringed when I saw it out there. I thought, oh, this bugger can't win, a little weak. But it just flowed. Where had she dragged it back in and fought it like one of the boys might have done, mightn't have got the job done.
McAvoy always said that about Jamie Carr, too. Vacillator bled, by the way. I've just received a text that he bled internally. Moots, just a very quick one off the back of girls making the weight easier. Chris Caserta starved himself to get the 44. There's a lot of talk about whether it's time with people getting bigger and bigger. Your daughters tower over you. Is it time we had a very serious talk about the weight scale, about looking after the welfare of jockeys?
Well, listen, that was a personal choice to be there. I'm not sure. I saw Chris, and you obviously probably didn't want to buy shares any when he was walking out to get on the horse. But that's a personal choice to do that, and it's not something that happens every day. Like, is it a knee-jerk?
Not just that example, but generally jockeys wasting.
Yeah, well, they're getting bigger. People are getting bigger, lock, stock and barrel. I don't know. I'm not sure. That's beyond my pay grade.
He's a fenceman today, Moots. He doesn't want to offend anyone. He's changed. We're going to take a break. More to come after this. We'll talk about the All-Star, and also I want to have a look ahead to the Blue Diamond. Who do you want to be on in the Blue Diamond, which is coming up on Saturday?
The Verdict on RSN 927's Racing Pulse.
Welcome back to The Verdict. Keep the SMSs coming. They are coming through thick and fast. This one here to you, Moots. Where do you rate Santa Ana Lane and Scholes amongst the sprinters?
Well, Santa Ana Lane just keeps popping up, doesn't he? He's a dead-set superstar, so he's going good. Scholes, phenomenal. Last couple of preps, what's he won? Four Group 1s now. They're right up there with as good a sprint as Craig Williams hasn't ridden either of them recently, obviously. They've got to be rated in any sprint race. So I think they were well in the market. Yeah. The Everest was probably their last run, wasn't it?
Another SMS for you here. Does Moods have a bet?
Actually, my wife asked me on Saturday night. I said I couldn't remember the last time that I had a bet. I do occasionally, but I could not recall the last time I had a bet. Might have been 6 months.
In your training days, did you ever ever open the shoulders on one?
You used to like an overpriced maiden, didn't you?
Yeah, every now and again. Mm. Like if you went to sale and you thought one was 7-4 and it popped up at 5-2 or something like that, you might have had something on. But no, it was never a philosophy of our stable as a punting operation at all. We trained for a lot of big punting syndicates and punting owners and that, but that was their business. We never really involved ourselves in that side.
So it's 5-2, 5,000-2,000, 10,000-4,000.
Where was your biggest crack?
I think I know the answers.
There was nothing astronomical. I can remember I thought Niagara Falls would win the Lord Stakes.
That's
one day.
One.
She was 33s. Just got a soft lead, Al Nolan, Rackham and Stackham, and won by about six at 33s. That was a nice day.
Gee whiz. All right. More about Moods' punting stories a little bit later. I want to talk about the All-Star Mile. You've got four wild cards. Who are you giving them to?
Matty. I don't know. Mystic Journey. You want to see Mystic Journey, probably.
She on the fringe of getting voted in anyway?
I think she'll probably vote get in the top 10.
Yeah, I don't know. Throw me some names.
Happy Clapper?
He's, I suppose, off the back of his run on Saturday. Happy Clapper, Hartnell. You know, we're looking at good milers.
I think they need to...
Land of Plenty.
Don't the wild cards have
Land
to be
plenty?
Assigned?
Who's going to train him for the All-Star Mile?
Well,
he's got a different trainer this week. He might have another one before the All-Star Mile.
Have you had a situation like that where you've had an owner that likes to take horses to different trainers on a regular basis?
You do. But from my perspective, you just looked at the history, and no disrespect to anyone involved, I wouldn't have taken Land of Plenty under the circumstances.
The Malaguira man.
You've knocked back horses because of that?
Yeah.
On principle?
Well, listen, they've been to half a dozen places before. They're not going to be at your place long. And there's obviously a reason why. And obviously, in this horse's case, one circumstance was the trainer was disqualified. So it had to shift. But, I find it extraordinary. And, without knowing the ins and outs of it, there might be reasons behind it. There might be disagreements on where to go or whatever. The owners have the right. They pay the bills. They have the right to place their horse wherever they like. But the trainer also has the right to say, listen, thanks very much for the offer, but I don't need your horse.
Does that happen often?
Huh?
Does that happen often?
Oh, listen, I always say to the owners, you pay the bills, you got the right to move the horse, but you employ me to train the horse. Let me do it to the best of my ability. If you don't feel that's good enough for you, you shift the horse. But don't, please don't. You don't have to help me. If I'm not good enough to do the job without your help, you do need another trainer. And you need one smarter than me.
And how adaptable are horses? Like, I mean, Land of Plenty, not him specifically, but 6 stable changes in 2 years. I mean, it can't be great for the horse to keep being uprooted and transplanted, can it?
No, and, listen, obviously there's some issues there, but listen, that's not fair. We're singling him out.
Hey, can I just go back to the All-Star, just the voting and the wild cards? Do you think, given at the moment there's a lot of horses with low ratings who are in they've been voted in for whatever reason, there should be a real emphasis with the wild cards on signature horses, like the horses who have got the ability to bring 3 people through the turnstiles, like your Happy Clapper, Hartnell. Yeah, you got your Land of Plenties who maybe the Michael might have the recent form to justify, but I reckon the onus is on the wild card selections to if there's so many average horses in there, they've got to cherry-pick the ones who have got the biggest names almost, even if they're not racing the best, just to have that feel about the race of seriously big-name horses.
Yeah, well, it's there to create interest, isn't it? I suppose, do a few left-fielders make that interest, or is it just another Doncaster, another Epsom, another Cantala or whatever?
Well, the cynic would say that if, John Cleese... says, I'm going to be at Flemington. If Manuel gets a run, you'd be handing him the first wild card because the media and the publicity surrounding that would be bigger than any other horse in the
race. I think the fact that he won the Or should have got him in anyway. Mm. I reckon there's a good idea that's emerged where the Or, Futurity, Blamey, Australian Guineas winners should all be automatically in because it's real recent form, you know, and it entices connections to campaign their horses in Melbourne. They're good horses.
And in time, the Apollo Stakes, obviously Winx isn't there this year, but the Apollo Stakes, but they're not going to...
That's a Sydney race.
Well, Lee Jordan might have a view on this because the VRC is hosting the very first All-Star Mile. I was going to ask Lee for his wild cards, but I've just been informed that, Lee, you're actually on the panel. You determine who gets the wild card, so I can't ask you that.
Well, yeah, it's not just me, Michael, but obviously there's Greg Carpenter and there's a few others of his staff that are on the panel as well. So it would be a bit risky if I sort of rolled off a few names. So I'm actually going to...
Who's on the panel? How big a panel is it? Who's on it?
It could be bigger than Ben-Hur, Matty. Greg's on it. I think Paul Budworth's on it. And I think David Hagan, one of his chief handicappers. There could be another one. And then the host club for each year has also got someone on there as well. So
do you have access to the votes now that they've gone dark, so you can see?
Well, they close at noon today, don't they?
But we can't see them publicly.
When are they announced?
No, I'm the same as you, Michael. I'm on the website there, and I can't see them either. So I've got a meeting with the panel this afternoon. So I don't know whether I'll have the final votes there at the meeting, but the finalisation of the top 10, I think, is on the 21st.
This Thursday, we'll be announcing it. We're doing a live broadcast out at Flemington for the top 10, and then the wild cards will be announced subsequent at a later date. You agree with what Matty says, that maybe in future years we need to hold the voting open until after these feature races, or they get automatic qualification if you win the Futurity, the Australian Guineas, you're straight in?
And the Blamey. I think there's some merit to that. I mean, as you said, it's current form. Obviously, Winx wouldn't be in that, so you'd have to sort of maybe whether it's just definitely those four with, some leeway to include a Winx, or as I heard Pete say, Apollo Stakes winner, et cetera. You obviously want the most current form going, with those wild cards. And obviously there is another part of it with the attraction too. They're definitely, Matty, good thoughts.
Oh, thank you, LJ.
Another good thought was having two trials after the last on Saturday to test the sun.
Oh, I didn't
think I was having a cloudy evening.
Don't start. I was driving to the course thinking, oh, this is the perfect day to have trials after last and not a cloud in the sky. And then one after the lightning, there's a few little, you know, fluffy clouds came in. And by the time we were going to do them, it was totally clouded in. As someone reminded me, about half hour after the 7:40, the sun was back out again. So it was as though someone had planted upstairs that we're just not going to let you have a crack at this. So that was a little bit disappointing, but we can't do much about it. But we've had the jockeys out on the track a few times previous to that, between 7 and 8. And look, the sun's pretty bright and whatever, but I think they're still confident we can get through. They just wanted to be up on a horse to sort of, just sort of tick it off. So we'll have to try and have a look to see whether we could do something this week. But that was disappointing.
No doubt about that. You like the idea, Moots, the Twilight Racing?
Yeah, I think it's like Flemington's an inner city track, isn't it, basically? So anything that's going to attract people there, and if it's, between 5 and 8 p.m. in the summer months or something like that, tremendous, all for it. Doesn't help stable staff and the day-to-day running of a stables, but Sandown, they're doing it sort of basically at the moment, the later start on the Wednesdays, aren't they? And I'm not sure of the turnover or the crowd numbers, but, you've got to look outside the square for sure.
And legal.
Yeah, so Pete, it's sort of like, it wouldn't be every meeting we're doing in summer. It's sort of like we'd pick and choose. And also, I think our thoughts are in February. We've got a couple of Sunday meetings. We'd probably do it something totally different. It wouldn't be just your normal, your normal race meeting, something, all down the straight, 30-minute gaps. We've probably just got to be continually thinking about how we compete with the Big Bash and other sporting events that are happening, and we've got to make sure we're still relevant.
And attract people there. I've been fortunate enough, as you have, Lee, some of those meetings at Newmarket, they have the evening meetings and then they bring in the big flash bands, and, for the last four or five races, you've got 30,000 young music goers there watching races, and if you can just create a bit of interest amongst a few of them to come back and say, hey, the races weren't too bad, as the music.
I agree, Lee. There's one argument which I agree with is less is more, that we race too often and so on, but if you create something that's separate from the run-of-the-mill racing, churning away and earning racing's revenue, if you create us almost a separate entity, with a package of limited races, but it ties in with something else, then it seems more justifiable then.
Yeah, there's no doubt, and that's the idea around those sort of February meetings, that there'll be something totally different. Could be a jockey's challenge, could be something, totally different colours, mic'd up, just totally different. And I totally agree with Pete. I've been in the UK when they successfully run these Friday night meetings where afterwards they have bands like at Newmarket and whatever, and they get 20, 30, 40,000 people. It's quite amazing. So we just got to keep thinking and just looking at new ideas and just seeing how we can make the sport, attractive for people to come along. And we just have to keep doing that.
Lee, also news on the weekend that you've got a new synthetic track going in there. Is that to help, obviously, with the training load, but also reduce possible injuries and so forth?
Yeah, it's obviously it was a dirt track just inside the grass track, Michael. So it's 10 meters wide. So Polytrack will go in there. We can obviously through the winter months transfer trials onto there. Definitely help with injury. Definitely help with water conservation, those sorts of things. So it's a big plus for the facilities. We've got the Polytrack, a pro ride. In a steeple grass, so it just brings the facilities right up to world class standards. We've got over 600 horses here, 20 of the best trainers. So I think it's incumbent that we just keep supplying world class facility.
That must give trainers great confidence if the club's prepared to tip that money into a training track, Lee. That the training's certainly going to continue on at Flemington for a lot of years to come.
Yeah, well, we've just signed everyone up on 5-year leases, which gives them surety that we're here minimum 5 years. And I think,
Of 5 years, Lee? Is that what
I think it's been widely promoted that, really until another facility is created, training will stay here. So, the trainers are well aware of that. So, that can take a little while to do. But it does give them, surety, doesn't it? 5-year term lease, new Polytrack surface here. It's great.
Good on you, Lee. Good luck. with your All-Star Mile meeting. If we get any little whispers about the wild cards, just let us know. We'll be in touch.
Will do. Thanks. Lee Jordan. Thanks, guys.
Felgate, there's just a tweet that's come through along what we were talking about earlier on about are there too many options? Like Galaxy Star, who's the second best horse in Perth, right, is staying in Perth at the moment, will not contest the Sydney Autumn. There are four weight for age races in Perth during the winter that she's being aimed at. Like, you know, it's just too many options for horses not to all get together at the one place at the right time.
If you didn't have these great races, we go, well, we need some good races. We don't have enough good racing. So, yeah, there's lots of options, but we want good racing, don't we?
Yeah, but the racing's better if the best horses are all there.
Yeah, but
I'm saying it's balance. Balance is the one.
Just quickly, gents, we need to take a break. On the other side of this, Moods, I want you to have a think. And Matty, I want you to have a think. I want you to name the Blue Diamond.
We didn't come in here to think, did we, Moods?
It's not a big thing on Matty's caper.
Also, need to talk about the Ben Curry situation up in Queensland. What is going on there?
Opinions. Everyone's got one. On RSN 927's The Verdict.
Welcome back to The Verdict. Some important trials at Cranbourne this morning. Seabrook has run second in her heat over 800 metres. Malaguerra won his trial over 990 in 59.64. And Grunt finished third, a length and a quarter of a way there. Interesting preparation, Mick Price, just the one lead-up run into the All-Star Mile.
Which is?
It's at Flemington on Newmarket Day, I believe.
1400. Yeah, he's staying away from Caulfield, obviously, because amazing that horse. He just won't go at home, will he? So, obviously wants to keep him bouncy and fresh. So, good trial this morning, 1,400, and then 2 weeks into the All-Star.
Hey, if you were to rate horses, All-Star Mile horses, on who's the best Flemington horse, it's hard to argue there's a better Flemington horse than Grunt, isn't it?
Yeah, no, he's got a good record there, hasn't he? For sure. Has he got a good record there, or just an abysmal record everywhere else?
Yeah.
SMS is saying, have you guys forgotten about Elizo? She lost a leg or something.
I assume she's voted in.
Moods, a bit to discuss, and we're running out of time, but we've got three Group 1s on Saturday. It's a brilliant day, always, Blue Diamond Day. You've had a quick look through. If you're going to throw a dart at one now, because we won't speak to you until Saturday morning, before barriers, I understand that final field. Who is the one that you're liking the most?
Well, the one out of last Saturday I was taken with was Hawker Hurricane. I just thought he would be a massive improver. He just didn't get round Caulfield, I think, with the experience. And along with, say, Shotmaker, I haven't dropped off Brooklyn Hustle, a vested interest there with the Rosemont team. I think she can improve. Loving Gabby, I haven't seen her, so I don't know the filly at all. Mm. But just watching the race, the chairman's, and listening to the way she's come on, she might just be too good for all of the ones that we saw last Saturday.
Now that the dust has settled with Book and Hustle and you're connected to the horse, what's the latest on the feelings about her run and going towards the Diamond?
She went into that run the other day with one soft jump out. Jason Warren's geared everything towards this weekend. And I think she's opened a very good improvement, and I think she'll probably be ridden slightly more positively, not as negative as she was the other day. Is she good enough? Only time will tell.
Yeah.
It's going to be interesting too, because we get to see Tassel in Sydney in the Silver Slipper, who is the golden slipper favourite.
Yeah.
And I think Kieran McAvoy is staying up in Sydney to ride that. So I think Hugh Bowman's going to be partnering Avilius on Saturday and a few of the other rides.
Shotmaker, I think. Shotmaker.
Mm. Interesting.
Linda rides Bellarosa in the Diamond, and Bellarosa was nearly every bit as good as Loving Gabby. So if I'm going to back one at big odds now, I might have something on Bellarosa.
You've been following the situation up north, Matty, with Ben Curry. We know more charges pending. There's a show cause hearing on this morning where it's expected he'll be stood down from training. He has a raft of charges. It's been dragging on for some time. But unusual situation where on Friday, the Brisbane Racing Club put out a statement saying that Ben Curry has been banned from entering Doomben and Eagle Farm racetracks. He had runners there on the weekend. He had a winner. He's still able to train at this point in time, yet he's not allowed to enter the race courses.
Different setup. The racing club is a different entity to Queensland Racing. So they, and with the liquor licensing laws, I understand they have that right to ban anyone from entering the premises. It has dragged on way too long.
Mm.
But the legalities of it, obviously, another thing beyond our pay grade, that must be holding someone up. You wouldn't imagine it could take this long to gather evidence, to charge and to have a hearing. But I believe it's in the law courts that's holding everything up. Is that correct?
I'm a bit the same as you. All I know is that when you've got one jurisdiction that overrides another, you get a ridiculous situation that, like, a trainer can train the horses, but he can't walk onto the racetrack. That just makes no sense.
Yeah, it's not a good look, and I would think Ben Curry probably needs to step down if he isn't put down this morning for the good of racing. I'm a personal friend of Ben's father's. I'll put my hand up there. I don't know the intricacies of it. I haven't asked. I've spoken to him regularly and don't want to know. But for the good of racing, this situation needs to be resolved very quickly.
Yeah, I agree. 7 new charges, alleged breaches of racing rules, including allegations of animal cruelty. They were the alleged jigger use, which came out last week as well. So it's a very messy situation that's been dragging on for far too long. Show cause hearing today. We'll find out more. We might try and have a chat to the Courier Mail's racing editor, Nathan Exelby, tomorrow. But that is the situation in regards to Ben Curry. Other interesting news which was broken over the weekend is that the Supreme Court New South Wales has overturned the Sam Kavanagh suspension or parts of the suspension. And we'll find out more details on it, but there is some suggestion that Sam could be back training very soon.
Because the Supreme Court established that he could not have known that Cobot was being administered to Midsummer Sun. So it's always embarrassing for racing jurisdictions when they get whacked over the ears by higher bodies, isn't it? You know, no, we didn't. We, you know, you spent all this, and obviously Peter would have a very strong view on this as well. But you line up all your ducks, and we didn't acknowledge those ducks, and we flipped the result. You know.
Yeah, well, I'm not sure what's brought on the change here. And once again, if Sam had this right of appeal to the Supreme Court, why has it taken 4 years into a 6 year, 3 years or 4 years into a 6 year disqualification? So something's not right there. It's a shame for Sam and parties involved that it wasn't dealt with years ago, or something new just come to light. You know my feelings.
Or did it just take this long to get to the Supreme Court?
Yeah, well, that's right. My feelings on the Cobalt issues, like I see we lost, I think there's a lady from Central Victoria got suspended or charged again the other day. I think it should be thrown in the bin, but that's life.
Hey, can I bring up Beauty Generation?
Yes.
Super.
Yeah,
hey, Mertz, just move your when you're talking. That big black thing in front of you, the microphone.
Hey, don't say anything.
What did you make of the run?
Beauty Generation?
Yeah.
Yeah, he was super.
A lot of Twitter debate about Beauty Generation v Winx, which will never happen, but it was a good Twitter banter. And what was Lee Friedman's tweet?
Well, Lee Friedman lives in Bay 13 in near Cranji, and he throws
rocks whenever he sees a glass window.
He's a Dartman.
Yeah.
Late in the afternoon. Yeah. And but interesting tweet where he basically was responding to a tweet suggesting Winx versus Beauty Generation would be a great race, and his view was Hong Kong form is crap, they live in a bubble, all that sort of stuff, and it doesn't get properly tested internationally. And actually, it does a bit. I'll do a little story about Hong Kong horses who have done well internationally, but I guess there's always that asterisk, Pete, of they always play at home, don't they, the Hong Kong champions?
Yeah, well, it is a bubble. There's no doubt in the world about that, but I suppose you go on facts and figures and you know, we have these international ratings experts. They should be able to line them up to some degree. And they have that international meeting in December where the Japanese horses come down. Now, I'm not sure if they're the top-tier Japanese horses, but some of them come down with wonderful
They're at least as good as the Japanese horses that come here.
I think the Hong Kong horses won all four international races last year, didn't they? So that was phenomenal. He looks a very good horse regardless. Beauty Generation. Horses don't build that record without having a lot of ability. Is he Winx standard? I'm not going to suggest that, but he looks a damn good horse.
He'd be as hard a horse for her to run down as she's had to run down in a long time, though, wouldn't he?
Yeah, exactly. Yeah.
It was outstanding racing over in Hong Kong. Huey Bowman over there. Zach Purton again to the fore with a Group 1 double as well.
See his win in the mile and a quarter race?
Yep.
Purton, like, he took off 800 from home. They were just walking. I think Time Warp was cantering in front. He just took off and put him to the sword. He's developed into one of the greats of the world. We forget when you're talking about great Australian jockeys. We look in what's in front of us and we forget the obvious. Here's Purton that mixes it with the world's best, like, and they come in and out of that jurisdiction all year, you know, for, what, a decade now.
You've got to have a lot of status and self-belief to switch a race around like that in a sense. Yeah. A lot of jockeys would be too scared to break the mould, wouldn't they?
Yeah, no, great rider. Great rider.
Speaking of jockeys too, Nick Egan's just corrected me. Thank you for that, Nick. J-Mac is riding Tasselt. Karen is staying up there, obviously, for the Autumn Sun.
And Red Bell, probably.
Which is the reason why he's not.
What are you expecting from the Autumn Sun, Pete, Saturday? First up, 1,200, Michael, or 1,400?
It's got to be 1,400, wouldn't it?
1,400's the Hobartville, 1,400.
Yeah, so, listen, I don't know what's going to be against him. I suppose, what's the opposition? he looked the absolute superstar of the three-year-olds. Like, he belittled our three-year-olds down here in the Guineas. Belittled them. Those horses that went round on Saturday made them look second rate. Is there a better crop for him to chase in Sydney? If not, well, he'll just belittle them again.
Mm. Also, Nick Egan, once again, speaking of jockeys, Saturday was Hugh Bowman's 30th ride on Winx for 29 wins. Jim Pike rode Farlap 30 times for 27 wins. So there's a little stat there as well. And Hugh's performance obviously will be forever linked with Winx. But even speaking to Corey Brown this morning, all the jockeys watching Winx, and they just think about the pressure that is on Hugh each and every time to perform, every time he goes out. And you live that with Luke Nolan as well.
Yeah, for sure. A lot of pressure. They know, along with the trainer, that they're the ones that are going to be kicked to death if anything ever goes wrong.
I think Luke's riding Redkirk Warrior on Saturday.
Yes. Yep. Yeah, I had a nice two-year-old for him to trial at Cranbourne this morning. He said, sorry, Moods, I've got to go up to Euroa and gallop some for...
That must give you a lot of pleasure, because when Black Caviar went, a lot of things faded, and Luke was one of them for various reasons.
Yeah, well, funny thing, I was down at Balnarring last Wednesday and had a Johnny Allen trial one for me. I said, you probably need to go to Luke Nolan for counselling. learn what it's like to go out and instead of having the tucker at home on the table, you've got to go home and do a bit of hunting yourself.
Unfortunately, his response was indecipherable.
Well, that wraps up the verdict. Nice way to end. Last SMS just coming through here. I'm a seer. I see Moods training in 2 to 3 years' time. That's from Susie.
I'm a seer. Well, actually, one thing I would love to see, and it would maybe get me an inch closer to, but I wouldn't suggest training. They've got a great facility out at Pakenham. I had a chat to Martin Peculiar at Flemington on Saturday. The Racing Victoria and the Melbourne Racing Club have got 4 blocks of land out there each, and they're trying to attract trainers out there. I think it's a terrific facility. Philip Stokes has built a great facility. The Stockdale boys are out there and a few others. I reckon Racing Victoria and Melbourne Racing Club need to build a couple of barns out there so they can take trainers out there and say, here, this is what we can supply you, not come out and look at a lovely, big, empty block of land with 3 foot of grass on it, because I think it's a wonderful facility.
Instead of making them imagine what it's going to look like, here it is, boys.
Here it is in front of you. And surely they could build 80 boxes, like 220 or 40 horse barns each, to give the trainers something to go out there. And that is my side of town, Michael. I'm 20 minutes, 25 minutes from Pakenham.
We've picked this up at 10 o'clock. We should have started with this earlier because it sounds like you're wavering, Moods. It sounds like there is a chance.
No. But if the only chance would be if it was on that side of town.
We'll talk more about this next week. Good on you, Moons. Enjoy the week.
Have a great week, punters, and good Blue Diamond Day.
Yep, absolutely. We'll see you on Saturday. Matty, read all of your articles on RSN's website, and we'll see you again tomorrow.
Good on you.